My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
Frustration mounts as earthquake aid continues to only trickle in. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for joining us. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is appealing to the world to send emergency supplies and cash to earthquake victims in Turkey and Syria. At least 21,000 people have been killed and hundreds of thousands more made homeless. Mr. Guterres called for a swift global response.
Thousands of buildings have collapsed. Tens of thousands of people are exposed to unforgiving winter conditions. Schools and hospitals have been destroyed. Children are enduring terrible trauma. And we are sadly aware that we haven't yet seen the full extent of the damage and of the humanitarian crisis unfolding before our eyes.
Aid agencies are warning of the danger faced by those left homeless in the freezing conditions. The BBC's Victoria Craig has been to a shelter in the Turkish capital, Ankara.
We lost everything. Everything. We just saved our own lives.
This woman, Memilagun Kutine, is from Iskenderun, a city on Turkey's Mediterranean coast. Hers is a story similar to the more than 1,000 people who have come to this makeshift shelter. The city of Ankara, which has set it up, expects it to reach its 4,000-person capacity within days.
My name is Esin Muzrak.
She's the director of this operation. She switches to speaking in Turkish to save time and tells me that since Tuesday, volunteers and city workers have been transporting people from local airports and providing food, shelter, and other needs. She says there's no timeline for how long people can stay, and they'll help as best they can with finding new jobs or places to live.
Well, across the border in war-torn Syria, Craig Redman from the charity Relief International says the situation is even more extreme.
It's the very definition of a complex humanitarian crisis. When you think about this natural disaster, this earthquake that happens, accompanied with all of these questionable structural integrity of the buildings now, on top of that, the freezing cold, and then on top of that, consider the fact that this is an active conflict zone. It's hard to picture a worse set of circumstances for the people of Syria.
Well, let's check in on the numbers now. Yeah, it looks like European shares are going to snap 3 days of gains. Indexes in Paris and Frankfurt both down between 0.8% and 1% at the moment. In London, the FTSE 100 also down right now as the UK barely avoided a recession, with its growth figure for the 3 months to Christmas coming in flat. Crucial talks between Pakistan and the International Monetary Fund for a bailout loan have ended without an agreement. Pakistan is desperate to secure help to stem a deepening economic crisis, as the BBC's Caroline Davis reports.
The situation may be critical for Pakistan, but after 10 days of talks, there is still no financial lifeboat for the country. Both sides have tried to paint the meeting positively. In a statement, the IMF said that considerable progress had been made and that virtual discussions would continue, but that there was no deal reached to release the $1.1 billion Pakistan had hoped to secure. Pakistan's finance minister said the talks concluded positively and that the country had been given a detailed roadmap. The IMF wants to see action and commitments from Pakistan before it commits to lending more money. But the clock is ticking as Pakistan's economy struggles.
That was the BBC's Caroline Davis with that report. A plan to replace banknotes in Nigeria has caused chaos, with people queuing for hours at banks to try and get hold of the freshly minted notes before the old ones are no longer legal. An original deadline at the end of January was pushed back to today, but yep, that plan's been abandoned too after a ruling from the country's Supreme Court. The BBC's Akechi Ogbonna in Lagos told me why the government had introduced the change.
The government said it was because over 80% of the currencies in circulation were outside the vaults of commercial banks. The bank governor indicated Nigerians were hoarding cash, and as a result, it was contributing to inflation. There was also the raising of insecurity. Kidnap for ransoms were very popular, and so huge amounts of cash were being given to kidnappers as ransoms. And to help curb this, the government also felt it was time to change the currencies. By doing so, people would be forced to return their currencies in their stashes to the vaults of commercial banks and then get the new ones.
The problem has been, though, that there just aren't quite enough of these new notes yet.
It's unknown what the reason for the naira scarcity is, because the central bank claims on a daily basis commercial banks receive 30 million naira in cash. That's about $65,000 of the new notes. But the banks have denied hoarding. Yesterday, I visited some of the commercial banks and saw the long queues at the ATMs.
It's very terrible. My own bank, I have been banking with them for a very long time. They are not paying. Most people doesn't have a cash right now.
Well, it's been like hectic. As at 6:30 in the morning when we came, and they were at 3:09. It's not been easy. Even at that, there's no cash.
So it makes everything so difficult. I have money in my account, but there's no way I can collect the money.
So that's a bit of the impact on ordinary people that you've been speaking to. What's been the kind of wider economic impact of the scarcity?
There has been a huge pressure, first off, on online banking apps and mobile money platforms, because these platforms have probably never witnessed the amount of traffic they are getting. But the thing is, a lot of people rely heavily on cash, and unavailability of cash is really causing a lot of hardship.
And all of this in Kechi, of course, ahead of important elections.
The elections are happening on the 25th of February, and the impact is going to be huge, because first off, people have to travel to various locations where they cast their votes. Their polling units, some of them are out of town and out of state. And so an unavailability of cash could disenfranchise people.
A complicated picture. We're really grateful for Nkechi Ogbonna, our West Africa business correspondent, for making it all a bit clearer for us. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you so much, Will.
A massive thanks for our team today. Joe Critch has been our editor. James Graham's been our producer. Your new host, Leanna Byrne, with you on Monday. You can enjoy having her with you on the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks so much for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.